gotta hop and a skip. And
when we come back from this break, just an easy little hot skip and jump. When we come back from this break, we're talking to Kyle Herrig, who is here to discuss PPP loans, what our government is doing and not doing to help the folks that are still, we're watching the news out of Washington every day, and every day we have nothing to tell you about the next relief package.
But so we're going to confirm justice. We didn't give you any more money, but we're going to get confirm our justice right quick.
We'll have that conversation when we get back, so stick around. More Signal Boost right after this.
Didn't catch it all? Missed an interview? Have no fear. Progress is always available when you need it. On demand at SiriusXM.com/on demand and on the SiriusXM app.
And all the girls dream that they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner.
Every now and then, your mom has a jam that becomes your jam. This is that jam for me. This is Jess.
That's I picture Arena. You and your mom jamming out.
Oh, in the Honda Civic in like 1991, like 100%. This is Signal Boost, and we are having a very important conversation right now, so I will put away my Linda Ronstadt love. With Kyle Herrig, who is the president of Accountable U.S., which aims to expose corruption across our government, there is a ton of it, and holds our policymakers accountable. He's here today to talk to us about PPP loans, among other stalled relief efforts. Kyle, thanks for joining us this morning. This must be a very busy time for an organization aiming to expose corruption in our government.
Yep. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, the Trump administration has kept us pretty busy over the past couple of years, and certainly in the past couple months as we've worked on exposing corruption and malfeasance around the bailouts that started happening in the wake of the coronavirus crisis.
Like, every morning, I keep expecting to hear, like, okay, the breakthrough is happening. Like, the dam has to give. Like, they can't do other things and not this thing. So if we're talking about ramming through a Supreme Court justice, we ought to be able to pass a relief package. What is the current status of PPP loans as you see them now?
So I see the status is pretty stalled right now because of the Supreme Court package. I think you have it exactly right that the Republicans are prioritizing an ideological fight over a Supreme Court justice that we shouldn't be having right now while people are struggling out there, including small businesses and workers across the country, but they seem to be okay with putting those people aside and trying to ram through a Supreme Court justice.
It feels to me like the courts and the Supreme Court is the driving force behind like the why, right? But I want to ask you about the how. And what corruption looks like in this administration. So can you speak to how this administration characteristically goes about their corruption? Because I feel like it comes in many forms, and so I wanted to get a sense of how that looks.
Yeah, I think the corruption in this administration both comes from, you know, kind of the more explicit corruption, which is, you know, the conflicts of interest, people trying to make money off their positions of power. And then there's also just the corruption that occurs through the way that the administration kind of sets up programs, administers government programs, that kind of creates just these environments where corruption, I think, like, is possible, where wealthy, well-connected folks are able to get ahead while your average everyday Americans are left behind. And I really think the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, is a really good example of that. The program, I mean, would it be helpful for me to kind of walk back through, like, through the program?
Yeah, for sure.
I think I don't know that we were in the beginning of pandemic, so I don't know that people really, you know, understood what was happening.
Mm-mm.
You know, sure. In terms of just how big the package was and the potential for, you know, money to be funneled to random places it wasn't supposed to go. So I like the review. Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So going all the way back to March, which either seems like just yesterday or you know, 50 years, depending on
the hour.
I think it was becoming pretty clear to everyone that the coronavirus was not only going to be a big public health crisis, but also an economic crisis. As people initially stayed at home, Congress worked on a big bailout package that, among other things, was supposed to provide relief to small businesses with a condition that they kept workers on their payroll. And this program was called the Paycheck Protection Program. And it was really sold to the American people as a lifeline to small businesses, kind of like the engine behind our economy. It evokes all these images of, you know, Americana, right. I suppose. And the program was really generous insofar as you could borrow, depending on the size of your small business, up to $10 million from the government, so taxpayer money. If you met minimum requirements, including keeping those employees on your payroll, then you weren't borrowing it. The money was actually forgiven by the government. And it really sounded great, like the way it was sold to us. You know, the diner and dry cleaner down the street would be able to keep their lights on during this horrible crisis with a generous government backstop. But that's not really the reality of what happened. Has been the case throughout the Trump administration. Wealthy and well-connected folks and businesses tapped into the program, and small businesses were left behind. We saw publicly traded companies, not what you would normally think of as a small business, foreign-owned firms. Even the Los Angeles Lakers got a loan. And I think meanwhile, especially in the first days of this crisis, so back in March and April, those who truly needed the funds, and including businesses owned by people of color, were shut out of the program.
Yeah.
And we saw,
keep going, and then we'll dive deeper into the inequality.
Oh, yeah, no, and I think, like, now, just on the back end, what we're seeing is not only all of that bad stuff that happened, now we're seeing, like, there was a bunch of fraud, too. Like, people were buying Lamborghinis with these funds, people were buying yachts with the funds, so that's kind of where we are.
Somebody bought a Lamborghini. So literally somebody bought a Lamborghini with the money that was supposed to go to Americans who were out of work during the pandemic?
Yes, a Florida man bought a Lamborghini, of course.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
it's always a Florida man, right? Isn't that the headline? I'm sorry, no shade. I try not to have shade towards any states, but Florida be having some headlines.
Keep it together.
Yeah, keep it together, Florida. But really, somebody went out with COVID money and bought a Lamborghini with my COVID money.
Yeah, they bought a
Lamborghini. I'm really upset about that.
You should be.
Okay.
We all should be.
I'm very upset.
Even more than the people grifting, I'm upset about the government grifting. Like, I'm upset that the money that was supposed to be used for masks and swabs bought jet engine parts instead. Like, the scale of the corruption here is totally unimaginable when we need it the most, which is such a mark of a dictatorship. Like, when the people are starving and the gold is going up in the palace, like, that's when you know you've got the real problem, and that's literally what we're looking at right now. Okay, talk to me about the inequality in the PPP loans. Like, which congressional districts are getting them versus which ones actually need them?
So, we actually did a study that found that the 10 congressional districts with the highest percentage of black residents got nearly $12 billion, that's with a B, less in PPP funding than the 10 districts with the least number of black residents. There's a difference of over something like 60,000 plus loans.
Wow.
Difference. And, yeah.
That is something like that happened by accident?
For example,
that's not just a random result. That means that the people who were approving this money going to those companies, like, they prioritized certain companies over others, right? The bigger corporations, their allies or donors or people connected or people who just had the access or Kanye West over minority-owned businesses. But is that feels... That kind of statistic doesn't feel like an accident. That can't be an accident.
It's either a sin of omission or commission, I think. I think it's really how the program was designed. in with the Trump administration, I don't think we can give them the benefit of the doubt that it was a sin of omission. But like the money, how this program worked is that it went through the banks. You didn't borrow directly from the government. You have an intermediary of the banks. And there are a lot of black-owned businesses that do not have those relationships with the banks. And, like, this was totally foreseeable, and this is what happened.
We talk about this a lot. This is how racism becomes systematized, becomes institutionalized. It doesn't actually take a mustache-twirling guy being like, we're going to send it all to the white districts and not the black districts. You simply use the systems that are already in place that have already been part of the engine of you know, furthering our inequality, and guess what the result is? Our inequality is furthered. Oh, God, this is so depressing. Okay, so is there anything to suggest that if a second round actually manages to get passed, that it will be managed in a better way? Do we have any oversight protections in there that we didn't the first round? Like, how do we stop the Lamborghinis and the jet engine parts?
Surprisingly, the Republicans are not really putting forth any changes to the program right now in the House. Representative Jamie Herrera Butler is just trying to force through a vote through a weird mechanism, discharge petition, to just get PPP funding totally renewed without any changes. We our organization and several others have been really trying to push to the government, push Congress that, like, if you're going to do another round of funding, which we support, small businesses and workers, as we go into the winter, are really going to need that help from the government, but we can't do it. We have to learn from, like, the mistakes of this past program so that folks who actually need the money, businesses owned by people of color, actually are able to access programs that are designed for them. But right now, we really haven't seen many changes. They're just trying to force through, like, a same thing again.
I mean, 100,000 small businesses have shuttered. Like, 100,000 at this point, small businesses have closed. Like, this is serious economic devastation in the country. And that is happening most in these communities that aren't getting the loans. Can I ask about Jared Kushner and loans that have gone to companies that were connected to him? Because it seems like that's... It seems like we got some specific, like, some of it is institutionalized corruption, and then some of it seems to be a little bit more, like, personal. Like his friends seem to be getting stuff. Am I crazy?
You're not. I think we, as an organization, we took a look at that and looked at how much some of his brothers, I think we looked at, in particular, what his brother's firm got, and I think it was at least $2.8 million, almost $3 million in funds from the small business program. And again, like, this is a program, like, set aside, like, that, I think that's, like, kind of the more hard corruption we were talking about earlier, like, you know, someone in the administration benefiting someone, like, someone in their family benefiting from a program. Like, this program was supposed to help, you know, this real small businesses, mom and pop shops, and we have Jared Kushner's brother's healthcare advisory firm getting $3 million in PPP funds. That's where we are right now.
Man, I mean, I'm a consultant, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that advisory consultancy is essential work right now. I feel like I do good work, but I don't feel like I do the kind of work that keeps people fed. I don't feel like I do the kind of work that, like, delivery guys and truck drivers and, you know, it doesn't feel like that. Like, an advisory consultancy doesn't feel like a PPP-worthy project. As much as, you know, I would love an extra influx of cash, that's not appropriate right now.
Yeah, maybe one of these major papers should go to the diners in Ohio and ask about how they feel about advisory.
All they do is go to diners in Ohio and ask the guys
exactly
how they feel about stuff. Yeah, no, they're just asking the wrong questions.
The right questions. I mean, I think that, you know, if you walked up to an average Trump supporter on the street and you told them, I mean, they probably know so many things about, you know, the corrupt State Department under John Kerry. That's a real conversation,
right?
I had with somebody before a yoga class. Oh my gosh, that was really
I remember
that. I was like, what? But but they can't. But they can't tell you about these examples that you're laying out in terms of the corruption in the Trump administration. They probably don't. You know, they're not covering that Jared Kushner's brother got millions of dollars of PPE while they did not in their small business or in their farm, because Fox News isn't covering that Jared got that money. Heck, I mean, a lot of places aren't, you know, focused in on where that money has gone. I think Stephanie Ruhl has done a consistent job covering that. But I think she's the only one that comes to mind that's really been on that beat, really, really trying to break down for people where this money went. I mean, it's very upsetting to think about the fact that that's our money. Like, right. And it didn't go where Congress intended it to go. What are the consequences of that?
I mean, I think it's one of those things, like, it hasn't been covered enough, in my opinion. I think Stephanie Ruhl and a couple others have done a fantastic job of trying to shine a spotlight here. But we really need, like, I think there's this kind of weird thing going on with this program, and I think it's, you know, Americans want small businesses to get money. So I'm sure if you go and ask people, like, you know, whether they support this program, they probably do in concept. It's just that we don't have enough education right now about how this program was actually implemented. And it's made all the more complicated by the fact that every day Trump is doing something to, like, either break down a Democratic norm to drive us apart. That, like, we're rightfully focused on those things, but these other big things, like, you know, almost $1 trillion of taxpayer money going to these programs, it's kind of left in the dark. And it just, it's really mind-boggling in some ways to think about that. I mean, you know, I know we can say this, like, a million times over, but, like, can you imagine if President Obama implemented a program where $1 trillion went to wealthy, well-connected people that was supposed to go to small businesses? Like, we would, I'm sure everyone in America would know every bad loan that was made out of this program.
No, and if you walked into that diner in Ohio...
Well, you know that that's true. Because Obama did have a package that was really big, and there was all of the speculation about the potential for corruption, and there wasn't. And you know why? Because Joe Biden made sure, as vice president, that the Recovery Act, remember that, after the Great Recession, that there wasn't waste, fraud, and abuse in that. In that package. So we can point to it a pretty, I think, on the nose comparison, right? I mean, is that sort of the one of the good and most recent examples that is comparable to the current situation?
I think it's an excellent example. I think the other thing we may learn from that as well, which is kind of scary, is, like, I don't really think most people think of the bailouts that happened around the financial crisis back in 2007 as, like, Bush's bailouts. They think of them as, you know, Obama's bailouts because, you know, he was left holding the bag for all the bad decisions of the Bush administration. We could be going into a very similar thing, which is all of a sudden in November, if Joe Biden wins, you know, all the Republicans come out and say, you know, every bad decision the Trump administration made on these bailouts, they're all Joe Biden's. I mean, we're already seeing that, like, with, you know, Joe Biden. They're blaming Joe Biden for the coronavirus response right now.
Blaming Joe Biden for a fire in Portland.
Yes.
Kyle Herrig, I can't believe that you have to deal with this and know the ins and outs of it every day. That must be so taxing. But thank you for doing this work. The country really needs it. And thank you for hanging out with us this morning. I wish we had more time.
I did too. Thanks for having me on.
Literally anytime. Kyle Herrig, president of Accountable US, doing excellent work, trying to keep us all as sane as possible through these insane times. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with more Signal Boost right after this.